The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu. Support for WABE comes from the Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta. You can go beyond giving to impact. Learn more at cfgreateratlanta.org.
From WABE in Atlanta, welcome to this edition of Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott. Coming up on today's program, in just a moment, Atlanta Mayor Andre Dickens joins me to discuss the controversial public safety training facility. Will his call for a community task force ease public tension, and especially following the death of a protester? Plus, we'll get his reaction to an independent review that says the city, if they want to, can break the lease with the Atlanta Police Foundation. That's in just a moment. Then later in the program, now the Governor Brian Kemp has signed Senate Bill 140, which bans most medical and hormone treatments for transgender kids to affirm their gender identity. The ACLU of Georgia plans to sue the state over the legislation. I'll speak with a law professor about the merits of a constitutional challenge. That's later on Closer Look, but we now begin with yet another controversial topic that's been in the news for some years now. It's a city issue. It's a community issue. It's a city and community issue. The $90 million training center located on 85 acres of city-owned forest land in unincorporated DeKalb County. In 2021, more than 1,000 comments were recorded from the public.
The new public safety training facility will help boost the morale, increase our recruitment effort, and also retain our current officers.
We don't need to pave paradise and put in another parking lot, or in this case, even worse, a parking lot with guns, assault rifles, machine guns, bombs, helicopters, noise.
And that was from a city council meeting that actually lasted 2 days. The vote to lease this property to the Atlanta Police Foundation would fall upon the Atlanta City Council. It passed, 10 in favor and 4 against. And so much has happened since that vote. Continued protests and violent clashes between some protesters and law enforcement. And also,
it's a simple fact that law enforcement was doing a clearing operation, a legal operation, removing people illegally occupying a property. And someone on the property, as law enforcement came into view, initiated fire on the law enforcement entities, and they returned fire.
Now, the shooting death of 26-year-old Manuel Turan, who along with others was camping in the forested area of the site, this took place on January 18th. According to the GBI, an officer killed Turan during a, quote, multi-agency sweep to clear the site of the future public safety training center. While still under investigation, the GBI contends Turan fired first and was killed when officers returned fire. Turan's family has filed a lawsuit amid an independent autopsy that suggests Turan was shot at least 13 times while sitting with their hands up. And so much has happened in just the past few months, so let's talk about all of this. Joining me now in studio, Atlanta Mayor Andre Dickens. Mr. Mayor, thank you for taking time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on here, Rose, and thank you for all that you're doing to talk about this meaningful topic.
Let's go back, because I think it's important that we try to lay all this out as much as we can in the time that I have with you. I want to go back to that September 8th, 2020, 2021 vote. City Council votes to approve leasing these 85 acres of city-owned land to the Atlanta Police Foundation by a vote of 10 to 4. You and your fellow council members, you listened to 17 hours of public comment, most in opposition of this facility. There was some in favor of it being built. At any point, did you consider voting no? Was there anything in your mind that said, maybe we need to step back and get more information?
Yeah, I can remember this process quite clearly. It was September when the vote was finalized, 10 to 4, by my council colleagues and I. I was running for mayor at the time. Mm-hmm. And remember, we were virtual for council meetings, so we were all at our independent homes, individual houses, and people were outside my house banging on pots and pans saying, stop Cop City, and they were very loud, and they were trying to come on property. And it was, you know, a tense moment. The same activists or more were involved then, and they were saying, you know, we don't want this. And I know that there were community members that said they wanted it. So at a certain point throughout the year, you know, I'm paying attention to what's going on, and I'm asking questions. And I remember when we went down the path of really diving deep into it, and we made some corrections. We improved what was already out there because council members, including myself, were asking questions. And it was going to be 150 acres out of 381 acres that was going to be used for Public Safety Training Center. We had them redesign it, and it came down to 85 acres out of the 381 acres. And the 85 acres that were chosen were the acres that already had uses that were in place before, whether that was the police academy or the various, you know, uses that had cleared the property before. So we felt more comfortable that this was going into a place that was least damaging to the community.
So getting it down from 150 to 85, was that the sole criteria for you that you wanted that led to your decision to vote in favor of it?
Oh, no, not just that. Well, one was, you know, being on city council for 8 years at that point, you knew that the police training academy that we currently had was in horrible conditions. I've been there before.
Is that the one on Moreland?
Well, no, the one that's on Southside, at 180 Southside, the Herbert T. Jenkins location, which is almost right at the edge of Atlanta, almost in Hapeville. It is, you know, it had mold, it had mildew. It was raining on the inside of it and had, and so that was no longer useful. And then the fire, our fire facility was condemned. So our firefighters are going outside of the city to learn how to be firefighters.
So you needed a new facility.
We needed new facilities, and we currently need new facilities.
Did you review this lease agreement? And we should note this was signed by then Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms. Did you review this lease agreement between the city and the police foundation prior or after Mayor Bottoms signed this agreement?
We looked at it as it was a part of the overall, you know, legislation for this project. So everything that we were going to do there, the funding of it, the financing of it, the leases. So everything was all on the table to explore.
I'm curious, though, again, with all the public comment, and you've been on city council, mm-hmm. and you correct me if I'm wrong, because I've covered you all for a long time. Don't know if I can remember. I know there's a lot of public comment about the stadium,
mm-hmm.
But 17 hours.
Yeah, that was a long time. Now, I'll just, you know, not to dismiss what 17 hours means, but remember, this was all virtual. So there's never been a time where, whether it's a stadium or whether it's sewers or whether it's anything else, that people could do that just by sitting at home and making a phone call and pressing, you know, yes, or, you know, just talking for 3 minutes. But coming down there in person did not happen, which normally would
mean. You think that might have swayed your vote?
No, I don't think it would have swayed. I don't think that, but I'm saying when you say it was 17 hours, mm-hmm. there's no precedent for people coming in person for 17 hours. But the phone, when you could just leave a voicemail.
And which folks did.
And folks left voicemails from anywhere. It could have been in Atlanta, could have been outside of Atlanta.
Well, let me ask you this, because is this considered an economic development project? Because there are some other concerns about where this falls. It is being built by the police foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not a city of Atlanta, per se, entity.
Right. So this is in DeKalb County on land that we've owned for decades. This was the site of the previous Atlanta Police Academy built by Maynard Jackson in 1974 and beyond. This is where current officers right now are trained. They are training right now on how to their guns. This is where they learn to fire and be certified. This is where your current police chief got certified at. So there are individuals that are on our force right now that was trained there. And so, you know, this property being utilized for no, it's not for economic development, but it's also a big park that's going to be built there. Right now, it's a dumping ground. This
right.
park area that is sealed, it's supposed to be sealed off, but it's not sealed. People go there all the time, throw refrigerators, cars are in there, paint cans, tires. So we're bringing that back to have it utilized as a park, a 300-acre park.
But did you, I want to be very clear, did you review this lease agreement that Mayor Bottoms signed? Did you have...
I looked at everything, yes.
Did anything stand out to you that might have been
problematic? Tell me what you're leading me towards.
Well, if you reviewed it, then you would know if something stood out to you. That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing stands out. So
you have no problem with the lease?
I voted for it.
Okay. I just want to be clear.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can vote for stuff and people don't read. I mean, did you read the 600 pages of the Gulch?
I voted no against the Gulch.
But did you read it?
I read it, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you know the history of what you perceive city council people to be, but I read, and I still have to read. I voted against the Gulch, and I voted for the public safety training.
And that's what I just wanted.
And so there's no rubber stamps here.
Right.
There's
I just
a critical
be clear,
assessment.
But I want to give you an opportunity to put it on the record. So you read it.
Yeah.
This past February, while participating in, I think it was Atlanta Press Club, luncheon in Buckhead, and you quoted, you said 69% of Atlantans support this training center. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, where do you get that number from?
Yeah, so we poll things often. So even during the election cycle, remember, so I want to be very clear about this. I voted for the Public Safety Training Center and still won an election of Atlantans by 64%. So to be clear, the people knew that I was for this Public Safety Training Center, allowed me to be their mayor. And at that time, we had polled voters, people that live in Atlanta and vote. I'm not talking about people in any other country, any other. I'm not talking about the Canadian that was here last week protesting or the Frenchman that was here last week.
Let's talk about Atlanta.
Talking about Atlantans that
so
voted.
This information comes from folks that you all polled after you were elected? Or
both during. We poll things often.
And where was this survey? How did you conduct this survey?
So you do it just like you do any other campaign to find out who you're going to vote for, to find out what's the approval rating of anybody. So you go out there and you make phone calls. And I don't do it, obviously. It's an outside.
So your campaign put the survey together?
Not necessarily. Well, and during my campaign put the survey together. Yeah.
The reason why I want to ask how this survey was conducted, because then there's a new survey, you know, from the city. You're all using, I think, SurveyMonkey to collect data. Which, you know,
I don't know about this. I don't use SurveyMonkey.
Well, somebody from your department is, because one could argue.
From my department?
Well, from the city. Because my question is this a fair way to collect data? I mean, I could take a survey from SurveyMonkey 18 times, 26 times. So I want you to understand where I'm going with this in terms of when you say 69% of Atlantans support this training center.
Yeah, we didn't use SurveyMonkey for that.
Okay. Just want to get that out.
Because guess what? Think about it. When I was running for mayor, I was polling at 4%, mm-hmm. and we knew it, and I ended up winning by 64%. We wouldn't take SurveyMonkey for that. You go to voters in a very particular way to be able to get how do you understand the public mentality towards something.
Okay, but then there's this Emory University poll that found 48% of Atlantans support the training center. For black residents, the poll found support to be even lower. At 43.5% and white residents at 55%. I'm giving you all this information so we now can move to this. What does that say to you?
Yeah, I haven't reviewed the Emory poll. I mean, I don't know if it was a poll or a survey. I don't know I don't know where they captured their data from or how they framed the question. I remember the time that we asked of it. We asked Public Safety Training Center, and then we came right back and asked Cop City to be able to know, you know, how people view this in either terminology. And it was a slight difference between when you use different terminology, but. Nonetheless, I mean, without it in front of me and like critically looking at the poll, I would tell you that when I knock on doors around that community, when I go to Boulder Walk, when I went to.
And you went around that community.
Yes. And I go to and recently, like this week, Boulder Walk on Sunday, Wednesday, I was at the gates of Boulder Cross. I don't know, maybe 2 dozen, 3 dozen doors. By the time I get out there, everybody's out there. Yeah. You know, so I can't keep knocking because people start, you know, we having full-fledged conversations on the street.
Did you encounter people who did not want?
Oh, yeah. I encountered several that were in favor, some that were not in favor, and many that were saying, hey, I'm in favor, but can we do more of this? And I say, yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about it.
You stand by this lease agreement that it is in the best interest of the city of Atlanta.
Yeah. So, Rose, I mean, you know, you're harping on a lease agreement, and we're talking about the overall safety of the citizens of Atlanta.
There's a reason I'm harping on the lease agreement, and then we're going to get to all this. So,
But I can re-answer every question you want four or five times about the lease agreement, and we could talk about safety in this community. We could talk about what the voters have asked me to do to make sure that this city is prepared.
I have never had anyone say they don't want to be safe in the city.
Yeah.
So the conversation is about the agreement and whether or not this facility needs to be in this community where there is a split opinion about whether or not it needs to be in this facility.
Sure.
And that's what we're here to talk about, right?
Well, that's different than what the third time you asked me about the lease.
I'm asking. So you're getting ahead I'm being fair. So that's why I'm asking. You support everything in the lease because let's just go there. According to independent review, the mayor has the authority to terminate the lease. So the question is, Do you want to terminate the lease agreement? Or do you think this facility needs to be in this community and that's why you won't terminate the lease agreement?
Yeah, so we have a so the city council approved the legislation to allow us to have the public safety training center. It comes with a lease. The lease to the Atlanta Police Foundation to be able to go out there, raise money so that they can construct this project. So that way we don't have to spend all the money to be able to do this. And so others can help, philanthropy and others can help build this thing out. So I support the lease so that we can construct something that that we need. And so the question about it being, do I support all of it? I mean, if there's something that I need to be made aware of, I am very comfortable with people giving me advice, which is why we created the task force to share more ideas with me.
We're going to get to that in a moment. Do you support this facility being in this community?
Yeah, I do. And I think that, you know, it's interesting because this has been here for 50 plus years. It was a public safety. It was a police academy before that. And then it was, and there was a prison farm on one side and a police academy. To this day, right now, the police of Atlanta are learning how to shoot guns out there. And we have decided to move that aspect of it from outside that area to another area on the other side. We also currently, this is where explosives are detonated out that area. And
think,
we no longer
so?
Are doing that.
Right, so you're no longer doing that.
And so what I'm going to tell you is these neighborhoods are 20 years old. This facility is 40, 50 years old. This encroachment happened, and so now we're making provisions to improve what happens in a neighborhood that came after all these things have been there for
Does
decades.
It matter how long it's been there if there is a percentage of folks who do not want this facility to be built in this community?
Well, yes, so if you're in Cobb County, you have a facility, one separate for fire, one for police. If you're in Gwinnett County, you have one for fire and you have one for police. In Brookhaven, they have one. In all around this metro area, you have police training facilities. On the north side, too, because we like to throw around this is in a black community. And we can put
this.
But
no one's throwing it around. It is what it is.
Right. But I'm saying that in other communities, there are non-black communities that have a police training center.
They're in residential areas.
In Cobb and in Gwinnett. Awesome. This was not residential when it started.
But it is now.
It is now. So let's find. Okay, so tell me where you would like us to place this. Which neighbors do you want this to be near?
That's not my job to tell
exactly.
You. However, yeah. It is my job to tell you what we hear from the community. Now, I want to go back to an interview.
And I hear from the community, right. Too.
I want to go back to an interview you did with Ebony. And I had to look it up because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't misquoting you. And they asked you about affordable housing. And in that, your answer to that, you said, you know, we have 800 acres of vacant land across the city that the city owns in various locations, and we would partner with for-profit and nonprofit developers. You say, because it is government land, we don't have to make a profit off of it. You go on to say that it's for the best interest, the will of the city, to make sure we use our land in the best interest of the city.
Right.
Someone has lost their life. An officer was seriously injured. Had a community forum yesterday. We speak to folks. We ask folks to come on this program. You have a lot of folks who do not want this in their in this community. They're not saying we don't want a facility. They say we don't want it in our community. And I'm asking you, at any point, can y'all consider putting this facility somewhere else?
Okay. So two things. What about three things in there? One, you know, it's sad that an individual lost their life and another individual was shot near that facility. It happened in DeKalb County. To be clear, it did not happen on the site of the Public Safety Training Center. It did not happen on Atlanta land or Atlanta-owned land. It did not happen by the hands of Atlanta Police Department. This was Georgia State Patrol, and we are, you know, waiting on the results of the GBI investigation. And so I want to be very clear because people say this happened at the site. It did not happen at the site. It happened in DeKalb County. There's a lot of things that people have been protesting from a land swap that DeKalb had, from a movie studio DeKalb had. A lot of things were out there that were going on. So to be very clear, this did not happen on the site of the Public Safety Training Center. And so that's one thing. The second thing is, as it relates to the desire to use public land for affordable housing. That's what we're doing. I created a strike force. We're building on. That's why we did all that work at Forest Cove. That's why we're building at Herndon. That's why we're building at Bowen Home, Civic Center, on MARTA property, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and inside the city of
Atlanta. And the same energy that you are using because people want it, you know it's needed, that same energy for people who do not want this facility in the neighborhood, but you're not make you're not going to, you don't, are you, do you think you all should consider, you have a task force, let's get to that.
Yeah.
What if the task force comes back and says, Mayor, we think you should build this somewhere else. You and the Atlanta Police Foundation should build this somewhere else. Would you accept that?
Another two-part question. One, you were talking about affordable housing being built in places where people say they want it, and then also affordable housing being built in places people say they didn't want it. So the city has to do what's in the best interest of all that's going on. There are literally active conversations right now of community members saying, I don't want that 40 to 50 unit complex that you're that housing unit that you're building for people that are experiencing homelessness. We don't want homeless people in our neighborhood, or you got too many of these centers in our area. Other folks have said we don't need no more affordable housing in our neighborhood. We have to delicately walk through that and say there's so much need for affordable housing, so much need for people to have housing that are experiencing homelessness, that your neighborhood or at least your district may actually get one of these centers. So there have been government supported decisions to build things where community have been split.
But you won't have to use APD personnel to patrol an affordable housing unit that gets built.
No, because the affordable housing unit didn't have Molotov cocktails thrown at it, rocks, fireworks, and industrial equipment burned up at Michelle Obama Park 2 years ago by protesters in DeKalb and in Atlanta.
This 85 acres is owned currently by Atlanta Police Foundation.
The city of Atlanta owns it. Mm-hmm.
But you're going to lease it to them.
Right.
Are they kicking anything to help with security?
The Police Foundation has they have to construct this thing. And so we have to make sure.
They're spending about $60 million, right?
Yeah, thereabouts, right?
Y'all are kicking in 32, the latest.
Correct. So the, you know, safety of property and people is the city of Atlanta's responsibility, just like DeKalb has to provide it for the DeKalb side. So the Police Foundation is not in the police, they can't have police.
You have to have extra personnel to patrol this area now because of the violent clashes.
Correct.
And you and police, you and Chief Sherbon have told me, we're down hundreds of officers. So now you're taking those officers possibly away from patrolling zone 2, zone 1, zone 5, whatever, you know, Buckhead folks. So now you have to use those officers down there.
Absolutely. We have gone on 12-hour shifts at times. These officers have had to be away from their families at times because of protests that have occurred downtown and down at the center proposed site. And yet we have worked hard with this new chief to make sure that today, as you stand, we are down 50%+ in homicides, down 60-some% in rapes, down 20-some% in aggravated assaults, and 20-some% in burglaries. So even while we're managing these protests, we are also working with community members and police to help make sure that people are safe by de-escalating things, but also by making sure we lock up gang members, et cetera.
Again, no one has said that public safety is not important. The core of this conversation is about how do you all as a city and the community and the Atlanta Police Foundation come together and work through, because there's an issue here.
Correct.
So with this task force,
yeah,
and I feel like I've interviewed all of them.
Because you do a good job of getting across the community, Rose.
Well, I feel like I've interviewed all of them, and they all say the same thing. What is the goal of this newer task force?
Yeah, so 40 plus, I think it's like 41 as of this morning, individuals have said yes to join this task force. Most of them are community members that are either in the space of parks and green space, social justice, or people that are in environmental protection or sustainability. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, even individuals that are just neighbors and community members. So it is indeed a diverse. I've gotten, you know, fire emojis for people that say this is a great task force, committee members. And these are the folks that are supposed to be the subject matter experts. This is still on top of the longstanding community stakeholder advisory committee, which is people in the neighborhoods, the six neighborhoods in DeKalb and the six neighborhoods individuals across Atlanta that have already been meeting for a year, that have already made substantial improvements to this property. So all of the above are going to inform our decisions, and I want to be able to have them give us initial responses, initial advice by July 1.
What if that advice is, Mr. Mayor, it's the best interest if y'all build this somewhere else?
You know what I do? I say, okay, let's do a committee or some study to find out where else is there in the whole city that you can build that the people that's going to be within a half mile of it won't say the same thing that these folks are saying. But I'd be open to that discussion. I'm open to it right now.
You are.
There are people who have said go to somewhere like, let's say, Fulton Industrial, I've heard. One, all of Fulton Industrial.
It's a lot of land out there.
Most of it ain't Atlanta, though, right?
So with some of this is one Atlanta.
Exactly.
Either.
But that's the thing.
But people, it's not near a residential
And you have to go area. Buy that. And you have to go procure that. And then you have to own that. And then you have to figure out.
You got some wayward squirrels and some trucks out there. And our squirrels will be okay because they travel. So.
Yeah.
The argument is you're open to it.
Yeah. But Rose, remind yourself that what we're talking about here is just movement for the hyped up allegations that we're going to have Black Hawk helicopters. You heard somebody say helicopters. They said bombs and all these other things. So what you're trying to remove is not all that.
So clear that
people
up.
Are saying.
Let folks know, because it is it's a fire and police training center.
Right. Yeah, so this is...
So what is being reported that you think is just absolutely not true about this facility?
I appreciate that. So the current fire facility that we have does not allow our firefighters to be certified in the city of Atlanta on the burn building is what it's called. It is condemned, our current burn building. So we go somewhere else to learn those steps on how to put out a fire to get to your house at a second story, a third story, a fourth story apartment, how to get up there on a ladder and move around and go through your house to save you. Those things are being conducted in other places and temporary boxes that are in Atlanta that we need to make permanent. And so we also don't have a facility for firefighters to know how to drive ladder trucks and engines to be able to get to you in an emergency. Most of the responses that firefighters go on are your heart, you're having a heart attack, you're having chest pains, etc. 75,000 calls last year. How to drive real, real fast and get to the place. And so we need a obstacle course and firefighters.
I have not heard anyone say y'all do not need better training. Let's be really clear, because that's the whole issue of better policing that doesn't harm people of color, potentially, especially.
Or anybody.
But let's be really clear. So you need a whole lot of land. Do all that. Well, you could probably do more out there on Fulton Industrial, couldn't you?
So you got fire, you got police. Mm-hmm. You also have to have room for the community. This is the neighbors have asked for the same thing we were saying we would provide, which is space for the community to meet, to have their neighborhood watch programs, to be able to have Citizens Police Academy, places where police and citizens
so
can
you could,
learn.
So could you have that without the other more hard and intense training, which people are opposed to?
So what you're saying is there's other places in the in this region that has a fire location that's X number of acres, and then there's a police location that's X number of acres, and then you go somewhere else and learn how to drive X number of acres. You combine all that, you get to what I say, this is 85 acres, which still a considerable portion of it is preserved for trees and walking trails and pavilions and a horse pasture for the stalls, because right now we also have stables for horses that is out of and can't be utilized.
The horses
for long.
Need, listen.
And so when we say 85 acres, it's not just all, you know, just this building. It's not one building on 85 acres. It's multiple uses.
Can you understand people who say that is great in terms of the green space, whatever y'all want to use
huge
it for.
Amount of, it'd be the,
but
it'd
other
be the
people
city's
say,
largest park,
right,
by the way.
But people say, but I've heard, look, this is fair, I think. I don't want to take my kids on a picnic where there's some type of fire and police training and mock shooter, mass shooter drills and all that. Do you think that's a fair argument that just doesn't, they shouldn't be adjacent to each other?
You know, we can come up with every scenario why the city's biggest park right now, Westside Park, is literally the place where we have all our sewers and our water. This is where we collect our water. And I don't want to be next to a humongous pumping station where Stranger Things.
With all due respect, Mayor, that's different.
Well, I know it's different, but I'm just saying that this is a tight space. So everything is kind of close to other things. People right now live right next to Hemp Hill, R.M. Clayton Water Facility over there on Bolton Road.
And maybe they had no choice. And because you know, particularly for specific communities, and you want to go back 40 and 50 years, comes to landfills and all other kinds of stuff, some communities have no control trying to get those things out of their community.
Right.
So you understand the importance when a community says, here's something that we think is detrimental to our community. Not saying we don't need it.
But you are saying the community as if it's one voice that Rose is projecting right now, because I literally talked to folks who said,
you told me it was 69% that would be one voice that you can't even support the data that it's from.
No, I can support it. And I can also tell you that 69 is not the whole community that you just said. When someone says these folks don't want it, you literally can make a phone call right now to community leaders and community members there that say, I am ready. I have understood it. I have reviewed everything.
Is there a percentage?
But can we admit that there are not?
Let me ask you
this: not wide scale.
Is there a percentage that you think is fair for you all to rethink whether or not this facility should be there?
There has been a whole conversation about that we are currently in, and I'm still in. Let me just make this reminder to everyone: one, this was voted on by the city council. Two,
which you were part of, and you've admitted that you voted for it. I just want to be clear, because sometimes folks tune in, they don't hear the right stuff.
Yeah. So I voted for it as a city council member. The EPD gave us an approval to do this. DeKalb County Planning has reviewed this for a year, said we could do it. Members of some legal folks said, hey, we filed an injunction. The court said, nope, we throw out that injunction. So now Fulton County, DeKalb County, the EPD all said you can do this. I could have started yesterday or the day before but I said, let's do a task force. Here we are right now having a conversation where community members are going to get together, provide meaningful input.
Earlier, though?
We did do it earlier. It's called the Community Stakeholder Advisory Committee.
That was the first one.
You just said we didn't do it earlier. Those individuals are the ones that said, here's what we like to see. And those things have been implemented. We like sidewalks in our community. Yes, let's get you some sidewalks on Key Road. We'd like to move the firing range from here to over there. Let's do that.
Stakeholder Advisory Committee, which was the first one.
Mm-hmm. They're still going right
now. And then you've got the South River Forest and Public Safety Training Center Community Task Force.
That's the new one that we're building to have more people input. Yes.
Are you still listening to the first committee?
Yes, because these are not different.
And everybody agrees?
Wait, this just got announced today. I don't believe that all these. I asked for people that agree and disagree to be a part of it.
And
41 people said, I want to be a part of this.
Being a part is one thing, but agreeing to what you want, because you say you are in agreement, you agree with this facility being in this community. I want to ask you again before I let you go, because I want to be very clear that you can be clear to listeners and the community. Mm-hmm. If they come back and say, Mayor, let's find another place for this. Is that all that you need to then make the decision to terminate the lease agreement?
So the clarity on that is that has not occurred even with the people that's been in the Community Stakeholder Advisory Committee, which are the people that live right next to this. That has not been their vote. They have told us to move the firing range, to make sure that there's a 100-foot tree buffer. They've asked us to make sure that they have access to the community buildings to be able to utilize it for themselves, to have access to the pavilions. They've given us things to do, and we've said yes to it. They have not done what you just said. But if that is the case, I will listen to that thoroughly. But let me also make sure that I'm clear as well that if there's another place that we could put this, that is within a place that a half mile distance of this, that set of neighbors won't say the same thing and we'll be right back here. And if we are also aware that we do not currently have a place for our police officers to train to do all these things, we're using Atlanta Metropolitan State College right now, mm-hmm. which is a college facility that would like their classroom space to be utilized for that. But which we can't go there at night and various things because that's what they're there for, college. Our firefighters are going far away to go, you know, learn how to be firefighters. And so all of this, we can dilly-dally and move around these conversations as much as we want to, but I'm letting you know that at some point, the city of Atlanta, that has the largest police force, that has the largest fire force, that has the largest amount of people to protect, needs to have implementation of a training that they can count on, that people can depend on.
And no one, to my knowledge, has said it should not happen.
Oh, Rose, this is a lot of defunders out there. Defund the police,
well,
folks.
And
when
remember
you say
now,
when you say no one.
Well, what I mean is no one is, to me, the issue is, the real issue is where this facility is going to be located. That is the issue in terms of the community from what we've been covering.
Well, Rose,
and
I also
and
say
then
that.
Also, and mm-hmm. then also, too, mm-hmm. how much personnel are you going to have to keep taking away from these other zones, folks in Buckhead, folks in Southeast Atlanta, East Atlanta, everywhere? You're going to take officers from their communities because they have to patrol this because you have, as you all call them, domestic terrorists, which is APD equipped to handle that? You're putting a lot of resources in an area which one might argue you could alleviate that if you just move the facility somewhere else where it is not near a residential area.
I don't know, Rose. There's a lot of people that have said, not a lot of people, but there's individuals that have protested us that act like they were going to a music festival and they change their clothes in the woods and start throwing Molotov cocktails and fireworks at people and destroying equipment.
They were wrong for that.
All right. They burned tires and called themselves environmentalists. They have destroyed equipment that would then leak oil into the soil. But yet they say to you from their Vermont and Florida and other place homes that they care about Atlanta's environment.
Move them out the way.
No. That's what the police
have
saying. To do.
What I'm saying, move them out the way of this conversation. I want to talk about the community, what's in the best interest of the community.
Yeah.
Because
why
there
don't I
is
come
a
on
split.
Here with the neighborhood?
Bring them all.
We should do that. We come on here with the neighborhood. Not the folks that live somewhere else.
You know I ain't talking about that.
No,
I'm talking about
folks that don't even live in that part of the city or
the community.
Or the Cab County.
The community. But you as the mayor.
Yeah.
And I did about how many debates with y'all?
I don't know. I came out on top.
But every one of you all, you as a mayor, you all say you're going to put the city of Atlanta first. So if you have a split in opinion about this facility, mm-hmm. I want you to come on here and talk about the process for getting through that. And how do you work through that? And do you get to a point where you say, and I'm asking you mm-hmm. again, if there's a recommendation that this facility should not be in this community, will you consider something else?
So, I mean, you know, we talked about the lease. I've answered these over and over with you. So I say, yes, we're open to discussions. That's why I got a task force. This task force is made up of professionals. It's been published. You got NAACP, you got U.S. Protection Agency, you got ACLU, you got Chattahoochee Brick Company, Georgia State, Morehouse, Center for Civil and Human Rights, Park Pride, Nature Conservancy,
in
clergy.
Terms of the people on the committee.
Yeah, these are people on the committee, okay. And this is next to the people that are also the community members that live nearby.
Who put the folk on the committee? I'm just curious.
So we sent out an email to several people. These are, you know, these organizations, and we said, we want your input. And these are, some of them were just the people, and some of them were the organizations, and they could choose who they wanted.
So again, they agreed to be on it, but you have no idea what their recommendations are going to be.
I have no idea what their recommendations are going to be. I don't know if they're for it or against it. We are people that I take input very seriously. I've been a community member much longer than I've been mayor. I've been, you know, really instrumental in diversity, equity, and inclusion in my professional career. I've been somebody who's a neighborhood president, an MPU leader.
You draw circles.
Input. I draw
circles. You bring
circles.
People together. You've
I'm
said
I'm
going
to make sure that I hear everything that people say, which is why I personally go knock on doors and ask the community, even in the Cab County. I asked permission of CEO Michael Thurman, a good man, and Larry Johnson, the commissioner. He was walking with me as we knocked on doors, and we plan to do more of that.
Speaking of which, you know, Michael Thurman, CEO of Michael Thurman, mm-hmm. has called a press conference because he is telling folks that the entrenchment camp, that whole area, is dangerous and they should stay away from it. There is a press conference going to be held today at 2. Hmm. Were you aware of that?
No, not that there was a press conference at 2. It's 1:45 right now, so I'll be sure to tune in.
You might hear some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if Michael Thurman's talking, I'm listening.
Atlanta Mayor Andre Dickens, thank you so much for taking time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rose. Thank you, listeners.
Bring the community.
I'm bringing them out. Bring them out.
Bring them.
Support for WABE comes from the Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta. If you love Atlanta, you can invest in the big picture. Learn more at cfgreateratlanta.org.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
And Closer Look continues from WABE in Atlanta. I'm Rose Scott. From one controversy to another, in a tweet, Governor Brian Kemp said in part, quote, "As Georgians, parents, and elected leaders, it is our highest responsibility to safeguard the bright, promising future of our kids, and Senate Bill 140 takes an important step in fulfilling that mission." That coming from the governor yesterday. The ACLU of Georgia, plans to sue the state over the legislation. Joining me now is Anthony Michael Christ. He's an assistant professor of law at Georgia State University, who also specializes in constitutional law and civil rights, because we're going to talk about that. Professor, thanks for taking time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You talk to the community too, I take it.
Yep. Circles.
All right, now. Let's go back here. Because when there have been constitutional challenges, especially here in Georgia, whether it was from voting rights or with the abortion, some call the restrictive abortion law here, what do you want folks to know? I want to begin here. What do you want folks to know about raising a constitutional challenge? Are you talking about the U.S. Constitution mostly, or is it the state constitution?
Well, I think there's a hard choice that advocates have to make now, whether they want to pursue a federal constitutional challenge through the federal courts and claim an equal protection clause violation by saying that this law discriminatorily harms transgender children, or whether they want to make a state claim under the Georgia Constitution that there's a privacy right that's been violated here by the state intervening in medical decision making. So they could also choose a both decision, both option as well.
And with the state constitution, that was the route that a lot of the organizations for reproductive rights, they kind of went down that road using the state constitution, particularly in terms of privacy and things of that nature.
Yeah, we've seen a number of reproductive rights advocates successfully use state constitutions in the last few weeks. And on Tuesday, we actually have a challenge in the Georgia Supreme Court about the current 6-week ban. But Georgia has the most robust privacy protections of almost any state constitution. And so that also includes the right to make decisions for children and medical decisions. And so this could be a claim that fits very neatly within that kind of category of rights.
And I want to make sure folks understand, because when we talk about the right to privacy, and I want you to take that a little bit further for us if you can, and how it relates to equal protection. Is there a correlation here?
Well, they overlap. But the right to privacy is a fundamental unenumerated right. And so courts will often look to history and tradition in order to figure what kinds of rights should be protected under that kind of right to privacy. Equal protection looks much more straightforward at similarly situated individuals and whether we're mistreating people on a protected class basis, or if there's some kind of animus against a disfavored group that's animating a piece of legislation like this. So they are very much related, but they could be distinct kinds of claims.
So Professor, let me ask you this. If you're arguing this before the judge, then how do you get that across? And you know, we could talk all day about folks want to cite, you know, case law and all that, but what will the ACLU of Georgia, and I know you're not, you know, arguing for them, but what sort of arguments can we expect?
Well, I think we have to understand what SB 40 actually does, mm-hmm. which is it takes what is the standard of care, right? The practice of medicine has said there are these different kinds of health care that should be provided for trans children. And the state has come in and said, we know better, right? We know better than parents. We know better than medical officials. We know better than, you know, decades and decades of practice. And not only do we know better, but we're going to take away these fundamental medical decisions from parents that have the ability to improve health outcomes for their children, and especially reduce suicidal ideation for transgender children. So the harms are real. The reasons for you know, putting this into place are scant. And I would actually want to note that the amount of evidence that the General Assembly had mm-hmm. when making this decision and when this was being heard in committee was basically non-existent. And what little they brought was anecdotal. And that's just not how you make public health decisions. And it's certainly not how you make public health decisions with children.
We had a psychotherapist on this program. We thoroughly asked questions in terms of what kind of data was out there in terms of percentage of minors having the surgical as part of their gender affirming care. It was maybe less, I want to be fair here, maybe less than 2 or 3%, if that high. So if you're the judge here, you want to deal in facts and the data and the science here. But other states have had this, and to my knowledge, the courts, have they upheld any law similar to this?
Well, a lot of the transgender specific legislation is exceptional. It's just new stuff. So we really don't know what the courts are going to do. What we do know, however, is that the courts will look at what kinds of practices are standard in the medical community and what practices may be outside that, you know, those bounds, and then look at the state's justifications for this bill. And try to compare why the state's interest, you know, or what the state's interest really is here. And I think the key in terms of surgical treatments, there's a good case for the state to make that maybe that could be regulated. So you could see a court saying, well, the surgical ban, that's kind of one animal. And then the other being the hormone therapy, right, which is really mm-hmm. the core matter here, because that's what is direly needed by these patients. And the fact of the matter is that the General Assembly put together this legislation and made this argument that this is kind of like a haphazard thing, and you know, people are just willy-nilly giving their children hormone replacement therapy. And that's just not true, right? These children go through months and months and years of therapy, and there's a team of doctors that generally work with them. So the rationale behind this legislation is just not something that squares with reality, and the courts will have to deal with that.
And we know that Florida, there's a lawsuit right now. We could get into a whole nother conversation about the political arrows involved in all of this, but I want to stick to law, constitutional, okay, challenges. Remind folks the path of a constitutional challenge like this. State Supreme Court, and then maybe an appeals, and then possibly could we see this get to the nation's high court?
Yeah, so it really depends on the path advocates choose. If they choose to go and make a federal constitutional claim in federal courts, there's likely a challenge that will be brought in a district court here in Atlanta federal court, and it could get appealed to the 11th Circuit, and then that could get appealed to the United States Supreme Court. If there is a state constitutional challenge, I would suspect you will see a case filed in Fulton County Superior Court relatively soon. And the important thing there is the Georgia State Supreme Court has the final word about the rights under the Georgia State Constitution. So if that's the avenue that the litigation takes, then the Georgia Supreme Court will have the final word there. So, you know, it's not necessarily an either or approach. There's risks to both approaches and strategies, but that's the path forward.
What do you want folks to know about, through your lens as a constitutional law professor and expert, if this does set some type of precedent for other types of laws, and how important it is, whatever the outcome is going to be, and in the future?
Well, I think we really need to hold legislators to account for the reasons and the rationale that they provide when passing legislation, particularly legislation that targets a discrete and insular minority. And a minority that is incredibly vulnerable. I mean, not only are transgender people vulnerable writ large, but transgender children are some of the most vulnerable people amongst us, period. And so to have a legislative process that has, you know, a very thin record, that has brief hearings, that doesn't provide for expert testimony, and that doesn't take a full accounting of all the evidence out there and relies on anecdotes. We should be very skeptical of that. The courts should be very skeptical of that. And we should be exceptionally skeptical when legislation is pushed forward in order to reinforce stereotypes. And I think at bottom, what's happening here is the state is trying to regulate how men and women should act, and that is impermissible under the Constitution.
And I want to remind listeners that Closer Look has repeatedly reached out to every state lawmaker that pushed this bill, which the governor is signing the law. We have reached out to Senator Cardin Summers. He told our producers he was busy. So just wanted y'all to know that. Because that's what we do. Anthony Michael Kreis, Assistant Professor of Law at Georgia State University. Professor, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it for this edition of Closer Look. Our producers are LaShawn Hudson and Daniel Razel. Our supervising producer is Tiffany Griffith. Our engineer is Sawyer Vanderwerth. Reminder, let us know your thoughts on today's program or any other. Send me an email, rose@wabe.org, as you all have. I see I have about 15. Thank you. And if you missed any of today's program, it's online at wabe.org/closerlook. And of course, listen to Closer Look weeknights at 7 p.m., as well as in our podcast. So subscribe to Closer Look wherever you like, or any of the podcasts that you like. Stay tuned to 90.1 WABE Atlanta. I'm Rose Scott.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now plugged in, a WABE politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WABE politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WABE.org or your favorite podcast platform.